Hey guys and girls, welcome to the Rock Hippie Podcast. I'm Keith.
I'm Mel.
And we're coming at you for episode 4 this week. We're just literally coming back in the house to record at least the first part of the episode tonight. We just flew back in from Fort Lauderdale.
Had a great weekend.
Yes, we had a very
relaxing, super chill weekend. We did not do very much. And the little bit that we did do was just enough. That was our whole entire plan, though.
Yeah.
Was to decompress, chill.
Because you know how it is. You go on vacation or you go away for a little bit and you feel like you come back and you're so exhausted because you did so much.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's a good thing because, you know, most vacations are.
Yeah, going to do stuff or see stuff and that kind of thing. But yeah. We literally went there to do nothing.
Yeah, it was a weekend of like very little, you know, no hiking, no running.
No, we really just sat on the beach for the better part of one day. And then we kind of just hung out and didn't do much. Somebody forgot to wear sunscreen.
I don't know who that is.
It's you, Lobster Boy.
I'm not red.
You're not red now. You were red yesterday. Oh, you're still red.
Yeah, I'm still red. That's the first time I've been like sunburned of that nature. I've been like red
before.
It
came down to semantics because to me, when I told you I had suntan lotion, yeah. I meant that I had sunblock, and apparently I don't use the word sunscreen, and that's what you were waiting to.
Yeah, I was not going to go and buy sunblock for some reason, because I'm usually good about, okay, I'm done. I've got to go in. And she's like, I got suntan lotion if you want. I was like, well, I don't need suntan lotion. I'll get sun just fine.
And I have a full arsenal of 30, 15, and 4.
Yeah, and I was like, meant sunscreen and sunblock. Yeah. That threw me off. So, yeah, the semantics of how we communicate there.
Yeah.
Learning
new things. Well, you still.
Know, we left the beach in a reasonable time. I wasn't burnt.
No, we were not even out there that long. Yeah. It was just really clear the day we were out there.
We did go back to the pool and sit, and I did fall asleep just a second.
Yeah, not long. Yeah.
So,
and it was just enough.
And I woke up and I was like, oh, yeah, I can't be in the sun anymore. I got to go in. So, anyways, needless to say,
it became red-ish.
I looked like the bricks in the little pig's house. I mean, I was dark, burnt red.
We did get some lotion and some eyelid.
It hurt. I haven't had, like, it was surprising because when I came in, I was fine. I didn't feel anything. And
well, and you're kind of already tan, like, except for the parts that haven't seen the light of day because of, you know, COVID and whatever else. But,
yeah.
The parts where you were tan, you were fine.
Yeah, it was quite interesting. Anyways, we had a great time.
We got sunburned. Ate some good food.
Yeah, we ate food.
Finally got some oysters. Super thrilled.
Yeah. I'm just still a little, like, lackluster that paying so much for an oyster.
Yeah, they were high.
Yeah.
Everything in that whole area. We stayed at Lauderdale by the sea.
Yeah.
Everything was kind of expensive, mm-hmm. food-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it's South Florida.
Breakfast was fine. I felt like we paid good for the amount of breakfast food we got. We paid maybe not. It was still high.
Yeah, I still feel like
we're cheap.
Yeah, it's not that we're cheap. I mean, we eat good food. I just feel like that certain things are priced because it's a resort area.
Yeah, I think my biggest thing about the whole paying that much was that when you leave a place and you're still hungry, I have a hard time with that. Like, we paid $17 for 3 tacos, which the tacos were phenomenal. They were delicious.
Yes.
But to leave and still be hungry kind of just ticks your ass off a little bit.
Yeah, it does. And the good thing was is I guess it helped us, you know, do portion control and whatnot. But
yeah, nothing like some portion control on vacay.
Yeah.
But we did get free dessert because apparently, you know, all your meals have been getting mixed up. I don't understand.
Messed up, wrong.
Like, I'll order steak and cheese. Here's your cheeseburger.
Yeah.
What?
Like,
and we're super easygoing. People actually are lucky that they get us at the table because,
like, some of the stuff that happens to me, I could be a real asshole about it.
You totally could be. And we just don't. We don't.
Like,
just
because
don't
I'm very clear in speaking words to people.
She repeated it back to us, I thought, too.
Yeah. Like, you want everything that comes on that? Yeah. Can you add lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise to it? Can I bring the mayonnaise on the side? Yeah. She came back, what kind of cheese you want on that sandwich?
Which should have been our clue that she wasn't getting you a steak and cheese. Well, not necessarily.
Yeah, no, because most people like,
You want a provolone. I mean, but yeah, but
who
I mean,
eats American cheese on a steak and cheese sandwich anyways? That's weird. Not okay. But okay. But yeah, I get
her
it.
Her questions were not off, and then all of a sudden there it comes, and we just looked. Yeah, white people. We're like, oh no, he didn't order his food. That's not what he ordered. We did get free brownie sundae.
Yeah.
Which was good.
It was fun.
But we enjoyed our time. We went to the casino, lost all money that we gambled. I was ahead.
Yeah.
By like $96, and then
instead of walking out with it, she's like, "I'm gonna put more money in." I'm like, "You gamble your heart's desire, baby."
I gave myself 100. I lost it all. It's fine.
Yeah.
I feel okay about it. It gave us some time.
Yeah.
It was rainy. Kind of.
I have
hot.
A whole different strategy to gambling.
Yeah, you don't gamble.
No. Like, I throw $20 in and I lose it, and I'm like, damn, I'm done. But if I throw 20 in and I get up like 10, 20, 30 bucks, I literally cash that out.
Yeah, I did put the 60 because I started with 60.
Yeah.
Then I won 96. I gave you 20. I kept 60 and I had 20. And then I was like, yeah, screw it.
I left 15 ahead.
Just keep rolling.
Sort of. Yeah.
It's fine. It is what it is. Yeah, we would have paid $100 going to eat, four tacos. So it's fine. At least I had fun.
Yeah, right. Anyways, so we're back. We're recording. We're going to change things up a little bit tonight. We're going to get right into our weekly dose of trashality. Talking about the show.
Love Island.
Love Island. Welcome, guys and girls.
We had to binge this.
To the creepiest, like...
It got cringy fast.
Yeah, like last week...
Which we expected, but it got super cringy.
Well, you know, I've never watched the show, and we talked about that. And so you're getting two perspectives. You're getting a perspective of someone who absolutely loves the whole drama aspect of shows. That's her.
Yeah.
And you got somebody who just wants to see a good show. And I understand it's got to come at some point, but man... Like last week, I'm all like, man, Mariah. Is it Mora?
No, wait, it's Mora. We keep saying it wrong.
Yeah,
it's Mora. Sorry, Mora.
Pariah. I mean,
yeah, you call her Pariah.
I call her
now.
The Pariah. Spoiled little girl. But, you know, I was all on board with them too. You know, her and James, you know, oh, they look really good. And he had some issues too. Don't get me wrong.
It went real bad. It went south real fast.
Because you're watching it, and we watched, the first four, five, six episodes?
Well, you had to binge a bunch because you're gone. And,
yeah.
Okay, so this is the biggest thing, too, is every night. So if we miss a night or two, we have to watch all of them, which is actually not bad. We're caught up now.
We're caught up. We got to watch tonight's, of course. But
we've been through a recoupling, and we have seen Mora go on a date, come back from the date. James got super awkward. Bless his little heart. He was trying to be super cool.
Well,
he just couldn't do it. He couldn't do it.
Well, you know, let's put things in perspective from his point of view. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's look at it from James. So up until this point, they've had this really close, like super fast, like almost lovey-dovey relationship. Like they have been with each other the complete whole time. They have
3 days.
Yeah, 3 days.
But they were like pretty hot and heavy. I will say that. She did tell him that he had to slow his roll, though.
But that, to me, was the part where she's like, I really don't know if I really want to be around him that much.
Yeah.
Because he was moving in a direction that he thought should have been moving at what everybody said. So she started wanting to slow things down physically, I guess, to get, you know, more mentally into it. Which, again, if you're watching the show and you're up until this point, I think episode 13 plays tonight. You will understand what we're talking about. She is like contradicting, but
she never would be straight with him. Like she literally couldn't even look at him in the eye either, and that bothered me because she knew she was.
Yeah, because her conscience was eating at her. Like,
yeah, it totally was.
I know I don't want to do this with you, but I don't really want to say it, so I'm going to make it look like it's your fault, so
well,
it's not on me.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, you're right. She did act that way.
She wanted to make it all about him being wrong, and so when everything went south, she wouldn't feel bad about making that decision after all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, she kicked him to the curb, pieced him out.
Yeah, I mean, so
he got dumped from the island.
Yeah, he got dumped, and poor Jeremiah did too. That was his fault. Now, that was all Jeremiah. Poor Jeremiah.
If Jeremiah wanted to be on the show, he could have just sucked it up. I mean, it was admirable. He did tell her he didn't feel anything for Justine, right? It was Justine he was with?
No, he was with Rachel.
He did tell her that he wasn't feeling it.
Yeah.
She felt it for him. He kind of just was like, I'm leaving it open. They kind of want to see what happens.
Let's put it
and
like
she
this.
Was like, bye.
to be a man, it was a good move. He was honest.
To be on the show.
But for gameplay, bad decision.
If he wanted to wait around, it wasn't gonna happen.
As soon as he said that, I told Mel that he's getting booted. So gone. And
so can we talk about also about the train wreck that is Mackenzie and Connor?
Well, I want to get to Mackenzie and Connor last.
Okay.
Because I think what I would like to focus on right now is the fact that way we went into it, we were like feeling some kind of way about all the individuals, like Maura. And
we actually were team Maura and James, and then we saw her a little.
And then everything started blowing up, and I was like, this is the part where my interest in the show gets cringed, because I'm like, I don't want to deal with all this
drama.
But
I find it interesting, because it, like, the sociology side of it, the psychology side of it is quite interesting to me, because you see how people act in certain situations where they are uncomfortable or that they don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Because we'll get into that when we talk about Mackenzie and Connor, because I was giving you shit about him, and you were like, because... We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I like that part of it, why people do what they do and how they react in certain situations. Like, you could tell James is going to ruin it from the get-go. His face just
looked
pained.
Yeah, he did everything wrong.
He's like yelling at, not yelling. Yeah, he kind of was yelling at her a little bit.
But I think there was a part where, for James.
He was hurt.
No, he was hurt. And I think at the same time, he just didn't know how to handle that hurt. So
and
let's
like
be honest,
his
by James,
face changed. Like, you could just see his face change when she came back. It was just like he was trying to salvage their relationship.
But in the midst of all this, we do have the couple that I think shall win this. If they don't, then
oh
it's
my
rigged.
God, they're so great.
Yeah. So Sally
they're
and
so
Johnny.
Cute.
Yeah. Sally and Johnny's the ticket.
Haven't found anything wrong with them. They seem super genuine. He did her nails, ladies. He painted her nails. He gave her a pedicure. Yeah, that was the first thing that happened. And I was like, well, I wouldn't want you to paint my fingernails anyway.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No, but he's just really sweet. They genuinely care about each other. I love that they don't tell each other that they love each other.
Yeah.
I love that they know that they care for each other and that they like each other. But I do love that they're taking their time.
Yeah, I think they're learning something that we'll talk about in upcoming episodes and probably on some blog spots that we're going to do. That understanding what you want in a person, not settling, not just looking for an opposite attract, you know, kind of really figuring things out at a deeper level helps. And I think that's what we see in them.
And then we recently have seen now in Carrington and Kirsten, because they were just both kind of together. So now he made the decision that he wanted more.
It might
more.
Be bad timing.
Yeah. But he made the decision he wanted more.
Yeah.
And that he didn't see them being compatible outside.
Yeah.
So he's been kind of quiet about his way he feels about her. He kind of tolerated it for a while, but he finally spoke up and told her how he felt.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is whoever stays on the show after tonight's booting. We don't know who's getting booted. We do know the bottom three on tonight's.
Yeah, we were kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, I was really shocked to see Calvin and Maura. Being compatible when they are not compatible at all. I mean, they're not even like, he's like, I want to take it slow. And
he doesn't want PDA. Her love language, he told him, was touch. I mean, they're not on
they're
the same
all
page.
Over, they're all over the place. But then again, I mean, and Kirsten and Connor or Carrington are not compatible, of course. Trey and Lauren are not compatible.
Yeah, Lauren. We haven't mentioned Lauren. Lauren's the new girl that came in.
Yeah.
A couple things. The guys were all over her. I don't think she's all that, but that's just me.
Yeah, she's not all
she's
that.
She's way prettier when she wears less makeup. But
yeah, but she's definitely not the prettiest
a lot.
One on there.
She kind of stirs up the pot a little bit here and there on all these relationships, which honestly is probably a good thing to some of them, because it got some of the guys thinking and some of the girls thinking about what they want in relationships. So I don't fault her for that. I mean, that's the whole point of the show, is trying to find somebody.
Yeah.
So I don't fault her for that, but I also think that she, I don't know, she's not really interested in any of them, so I think she's just kind of causing problems.
Yeah, so we get to the train wreck that is Connor and Mackenzie.
The commentary that the guy has, on the guy that does the narration stuff, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Telenovela number 140, whatever, 412 or whatever the number was.
Yeah.
Mackenzie E. Connor. Like, I was dying. Law offices.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's, you know, not to continue this out for too much longer.
The girl can cry a river.
Let's just say,
why would America take my boyfriend?
Yeah, if you haven't seen it and you're planning on watching it, you're interested in it, I would definitely check this one out, because it is absolutely funny how this girl acts. But I think it's something, if you watch them, I think they're more compatible than everybody else because they're going through hard shit.
They're working through their stuff. I will say their communication has gotten way better. She was kind of calling the shots, and Connor was along for the ride, and then he kind of was like, nope.
Yeah, he like finally was like, if I'm going to be true to myself and I'm going to actually find a relationship with somebody, then I've got to speak up.
And so that's where we could talk about the psychology of it really quickly because that was when I was kind of like, yeah, he was going to have a serious conversation with her, and then he just like bailed. He couldn't have it with her.
Yeah.
And remember, I was like, God, he needs to man up. Like, he's being, you know, I'm not going to use the P word, but he's being that, and...
But he wasn't. But he was.
But he wasn't. But then you explained to me, like,
yeah,
this is how he is. Yeah, that you're somewhat similar to the same way. That you just don't want to hurt people.
Yeah, it makes you sick to your stomach. It's like an anxiety that is induced by other people's hurt, especially when it's emotional hurt.
Yeah,
like you can literally not deal with that. Like for him to speak up and say, "Hey, you know what you did was wrong."
Yeah.
And, like, there was that one moment where he waited to the next day to talk to her where she's like, oh, I wish you would have done this before. But for him, it was probably so anxiety-ridden. Yeah. He had to take the time to, like, step back, think about his words. And even at one point, he wrote everything down.
Yeah, he literally read it. Yeah, read what he wrote because he couldn't do it otherwise.
There would have been no way for him to do it. And once he started manifesting that ability to be true to himself, to not just settle for something because, you know, she thinks – or he thinks she's hot and she's got all these things going for her and this is a great woman for him, but he's settling for the emotional part. He's settling for the intellectual part. He's settling for that compatibility outside of the physical. And that's what I think, you know, at some point, listen, and I think being in that house, something that I will say is interesting to me is how the guys will get together. And the girls, I mean, girls always get together. They always talk.
Yeah, but the guys do too, though.
But that's what I'm saying.
And they're pretty vulnerable with each other. It's actually quite impressive.
That's what I was going to say. The vulnerability of the guys being together and talking real.
Candidly,
not just like,
super candidly about stuff.
Not just like, oh, she's hot. Did you sleep with her? But like, you know, you shouldn't let her talk to you like this. You shouldn't allow her to have the upper
hand.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of good camaraderie going on. And this, I guess.
I also think, too, in Connor's defense, also, she acts really irrationally when it comes to conversations. Her immediate reaction, which really bothers me, is to start crying, which I'm a crier, too. When I get upset or I get hurt, I hate it. It's my one thing I hate. When I'm mad, I cry. I hate it. But hers, like, is, like, feeling sorry for herself. And, I mean, she repeats constantly that, you know, when America let Connor go on the date with Lauren, that, you know, she has issues with not feeling like she's enough and all of those things. But I'm like, at some point she's gonna have to work through that because it's gonna plague every relationship she's ever gonna be in if she can't figure that out. So in his defense, I could get why he didn't say anything to her, because she's an overreactor. He's gonna get the tears. So if he's already feeling bad, it's gonna be that much worse because she's
gonna be super bad.
her reaction's crazy.
So it's an interesting show. It's getting interesting. We're planning on doing more. You see that we've taken almost 20 minutes to talk about.
Was this the third week? Third week starting now?
Yeah, the third week starting now.
Yeah, so a lot's happened in just 2 weeks.
Yeah, it has. And
they still haven't eaten any of the food that is on any of their dates. It just sits there.
Yeah, that's my favorite part. Like, nobody eats. They drink plenty, but they eat none.
Nobody eats. I was
now,
like, is it
plastic?
They do
eat breakfast.
They do eat breakfast.
Because that's the only meal. But I think I was reading something where it said some article that was coming because I was looking for Love Island, like trying to find the times that it came on live.
Yeah.
Because I never watch it live. So, but I came across an article about like why they don't show the meals and something else.
Oh.
There's a reason they're not showing what they're eating.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. Except for the breakfast stuff.
They'll cook breakfast. We do see that. Yeah. But their dates are hilarious. It's just like food sitting in a pretty
looks like,
platter.
Well, those grapes are not real. They must be plastic.
Well, you know, like you used to like go to like people's houses that were for sale and they'd have like, or people still have like the plastic fruit.
Yeah.
Like it all looks like that. Like they just move the tray from date to date to date. Yeah. Like, don't eat that. Yeah. Here's your champagne. Keep drinking.
Yeah. You can drink, but don't eat.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what they want in drama. But anyways, yeah. So we'll catch up. We caught up yesterday and, I'm interested to see what happens today with the recoupling.
So if this is something you like us talking about the weekly dose of trashality, let us know because it could be something that spurs into something else. Something that, you know, like if you like, I want my daily dose or I want my weekly dose or I want my.
It part of our regular podcast where we might be able to hook you up.
Yeah. So let us know.
Or let us know what kind of a other trashy reality shows, because once this is over, we're going to be searching for another one. And I won't have to look far.
And my only thing for Mackenzie is...
You are ugly when you're angry.
Oh, my God, babe.
So, reco spot this week. I can reco a bunch of music in and out. I can reco a bunch of stuff. I haven't had a chance to sit down, and I've been wanting to listen to some new podcasts to shoot those out. Hopefully this week I'll get a chance. I was out of town in Reno last week too, so.
Yeah, and came back a day late thanks to Mother Nature and.
Yeah, that's why the podcast was actually released late last week, because I had to spend an extra day flying between Houston and Dallas because of storms. So.
As we're watching your flights cancel, I'm like, no.
Yeah. So we had a little hold up in, you know, getting some things done, but we'll get some new recos for you next week. I haven't had really watched anything new. I haven't gotten any recos. I'm watching that movie Project Power on Netflix. So far, so good. It's interesting. If you want to check that on Netflix, you can. This week's music reco. We kind of got to have, like, permission to play stuff.
Yeah, so we can't really share anything. That's
I can throw out independent artist songs because they usually love that, but I just didn't have a chance to throw anything out there this week. So
yeah, we're kind of slack. Sorry, y'all. Yeah. It's one of those weeks.
It is.
Well, this kind of snuck up on us, too, because it's Monday. We knew we were going out of town. You came back late. This week was just rough, but it's okay. We'll get back to it next week.
Yeah, I mean, that's all good. And I'm just going to follow up on last week's recommendation. I know we talked about American Scream.
Their new song came out.
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of get that part out, that they did release a new song. They released a video for it, which... Go over to our website. I'm sorry. Go over to our Facebook page. We did share the video.
It's so good.
Go to American Scream's Instagram page. Go to their Facebook page. Go find their YouTube page. You can find all those links in last week's episode description.
Yeah.
Either on Anchor or our website. Go and check out this video, because it is very, very good. Again, it's not because I'm biased. Yes.
No, I mean, these are kids. Like, this is not a signed band. This is not, they're doing all of this on their own. And the quality of their video that they made is outstanding. You would not know that they, you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't even know. There are bands that I see regularly whose videos are worse than, I mean, way worse.
So,
theirs is awesome.
Yeah, so go check out American Scream. Check out the new song, Katie. I'll give you a little sneak peek of it right now. Going into the break. And we'll be back after that. Hey, guys and girls, welcome back. Thanks for sticking around after the ad. And again, if just real quick, you're trying to start a podcast, go to anchor.fm. It's really good stuff. Today, we're going to get into something that was kind of, we were talking about when we were doing our little trashality segment. Talking about our tagline at the end is, you know, we say live life loud and bold, and mediocrity is not an option. I know we released a YouTube video this week, kind of getting into that just a little bit.
Oh, that was a mess, too.
Look, all right, so let's look at things like this, okay?
We're as real as you get.
I know there's a lot of podcasts out there that are very dialogue-driven, just real, honest, back and forth, dialogue between a couple of people. I know a lot of people are doing that. That's the same kind of podcast that I did before. We definitely don't have a real format or a niched category that we stick to.
No.
But one thing you will see is that we're messy. We're a little weird.
100% ourselves.
Yeah, and we are who we are. So you're getting you're getting us at face value. Now, if you don't like us at face value, that by all means, that's fine.
We're not everybody's flavor. Okay.
Not your cup of tea. That is quite all right. We get it. But we love the fact that we can be ourselves. We're uncensored. We're literally not edited.
No. Mm-mm.
No.
I mean, if you watch the YouTube video that we did at the beach, it's we did it like 9:30, 10 o'clock
wreck.
At night.
Yeah.
I was entertained by it.
Yeah.
It was the first time we did a live one using our little setup, our little
yeah.
mobile setup. So really
out, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to turn out.
No, but it was fine.
But yeah. We're still learning.
We're not gonna apologize for it because we're just learning.
Yeah.
We're other things that we're trying to do.
We're figuring things out. So
thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah. And if you saw that train wreck, then more power to you.
That's as bad as it's going to get. Probably not, but we'll
go ahead
and
just
say
that. It's definitely going to get worse. Yeah, so mediocrity is not an option. It kind of derives from I'm starting a blog. Mel's not the only one who can write blogs.
No, you actually can write really well.
I haven't had the drive yet or the inclination.
Kinda, yeah, you're working on your little, it's going to be a couple parts, aren't you? You want to
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be, you're going to hear, well, I'm not going to do like, okay, I'm writing a blog post and I'm going to do it in the podcast. Now, I'm going to talk about stuff I write in the podcast as well. They may be whole segments I talk about, like tonight, what we're talking about is going to be in said blog post. But it's not going to be for a few weeks before you see that section. I'm going to write, it's a 5-part blog. The first part's literally just the overview of what everything's going to be talking about. And then I'll break down each section 1 through 4. It's basically about dating, technically dating after 40-ish or dating after a long-term relationship ends or something in that realm. But tonight, kind of stems from mediocrity is not an option. What I was talking about was that it kind of stemmed from the fact that when me and Mel started to talk and date, that one of the things that one was that we wouldn't settle for any kind of status quo situation. We didn't want anything vanilla.
Yeah.
No vanilla. We didn't want mediocre. Mediocre was something that you get when you're younger. And it's okay because you're just trying to get through life. You're trying to work and raise kids and all those things.
Yeah.
And you go through the mediocrity of life because there's so much going on. But then, you know, as life goes on and if you leave, and here's a great thing. If you're still in a relationship and you haven't left that relationship and you realize that things are kind of mediocre, here's the time to go, you know what? I don't want to accept this anymore. Let's work together to pull.
Yeah. Recommit to things.
Yeah. And that's a good thing to think about as we talk about this, because this is not just for somebody who's left a long-term relationship.
Any relationship.
Yeah. And so we said we weren't going to settle for it. So mediocrity is not an option. No vanilla. No salted eggs.
Can I tell the salted egg story?
Yes.
Can we tell that story?
All right.
Today?
So yeah, on the YouTube video, we did mention the no salted eggs thing. Mel is going to give us
the
story.
I don't know. It was just so telling. It was just very interesting. Like when it happened at the time, I don't think I understood the impact to which it affected me. Like at the time, I just kind of looked at it. So anyways, Keith and I go out of town. It's one of the first, maybe the second time we're out of town together. Most people don't know about our relationship. We've kind of were on the DL for a little while, like we mentioned, and close friends knew.
Yeah.
But we kind of kept it from everybody else. Just kind of wanted to make sure it worked first before we start saying, oh, we're going out and we're dating and whatever else is, and we're not certain at that point. But anyway,
yeah.
So we go out to, he has to go, it was over Thanksgiving.
No.
It was before that?
Way before that.
Which one was this? It was when you played basketball.
Yeah, that was
like, oh, you guys were trying to play this.
This was like last year this time.
Oh yeah, okay. So that was September. Then you guys were trying to play again.
But this happened.
Yes.
But
this, I got you. Yeah, my this, brain's stupid. Yeah, sometimes.
It's okay. Her timelines are really messed up. That's why I'm here to keep the timeline straight,
babe.
So to be honest, it was about this time last year. Literally,
yeah, like a year
no,
ago.
It was Labor Day weekend.
Just, oh shit, it was.
Yeah, it was Labor Day weekend. But Labor Day weekend was last week.
So a year ago, Labor Day weekend, a year ago, Keith and I go down to the beach, stay in Ocean Isle area, and we are eating breakfast on the pier at this little restaurant that's attached to it, and we are sitting there, and we were just talking and carrying on, and on the table next to us was a husband and wife, and we just were kind of, the two of us, Keith and I, were cracking up and laughing and carrying on like we always do. But we look over at their table and they literally said nothing to each other, this man and this woman. He gets their food and they're eating and he's salting the hell out of his eggs.
Well, to me, it wasn't even like it was perfect. Like he was salting it for flavor. It was like he was just like staring out the window and he was just salting the eggs.
Mindlessly salting his eggs.
And she says something to him and he's talking. He's still salting his eggs. Like, I swear this dude's going to like shrivel up from the amount of salt.
We're like laughing to the point that we're like, is there any salt left in the shaker? Because at this point he has really honestly just blindly salting his eggs.
Yeah. So, and again, no salted eggs is not like some crazy psychological terminology we're using. It's literally just an inside joke for me and her.
Yeah. Just because we didn't want that relationship. So they sat there the whole entire time, said not two words to each other. Completely just disconnected. Then when they get ready to leave, that was the part that probably hit me the most, is he just got up, picked his tray up, was little, you know, everything was thrown away, picked his stuff up, throw it in the trash can. She just kind of gathers her things and like looks at him to see if he's looking for her, and he's not. He doesn't even care, not even waiting for her. And he dumps his stuff, she picks up her plate and all of that and dumps her stuff, and then he just walks right out the door. He doesn't hold the door for her, doesn't wait, check on her, nothing. And I just looked at you and I remember going, God, that is so sad. Like, they literally sat there for 30 minutes and said not a word to each other.
Looked at their phones.
Yeah.
And I get it. I mean, we all have bays and we're looking from the outside in. So they could have just been having a bad day. This might not be their normal routine.
But it was telling to you and I that we both were like,
yeah, we didn't
want
that.
I just don't
want
to end up like that.
I mean, we all go through that. We all go through the times where we're just sitting across the table from somebody and we're looking at our phones, or we don't know what to say anymore. It's like, you kind of lose that spark. I don't want to say spark because I don't want to put into the conversation that there's this I'm in love with you and I'm out of love with you thing. I think that
I
think there's too much. I think there's too much.
Because the spark does fade.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
the newness wears off,
the freshness wears off.
Yeah, it does.
That kind of excitement. But relationships have to grow and mature into something else. But it doesn't have to be mediocre. It still can be fun. It still can be exciting.
Yeah.
There can be new things. There's always got to be new things that you can do, whether it's just watching a new show together. I mean, literally the smallest things of watching a new show together or experiences like I've done things that she hasn't. And for me to see her experience the things that I've done is new and exciting for me.
Yeah.
But it's more than just like the passionate flames of burning hot desire. You know, it's more than that. It's more than like, oh my gosh, I got the butterflies every day for her, dude. Like, I can't eat. I can't sleep. Dude, at some point you got to eat and sleep. So you got to get over that. Like, you got it. For me, I felt like that's what I was looking for. Like, I got to have the butterflies all the time. And we had the butterflies, and I still get butterflies with you. But
I do too.
But they're different. It's not that.
It's more of excitement to see you than, like, I want to jump you. I mean, it's probably not true either, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's different. It's a more genuine feeling of butterflies now, where it's not just passion driven or like attraction driven. I mean, I'm attracted to you, don't get me wrong.
I think the problem is that people see that in love, passionate newness is, but all that's kind of surface level. There's no
connection.
Have you scratched through the surface of understanding that person, which makes a relationship actually last? Because people's like, well, you know, when I don't really feel in love with you. And I know I've went through that. I've said those things because that's what I thought was important. I didn't realize there was another level of depth there. And I didn't. I mean, I was either too young or too focused on career or too focused on raising children or too focused on anything other than making that relationship more. But once you actually start realizing how to make that relationship more, then you start to see the incompatibilities of relationships. Yeah. And that's where I think that's where when we say not settling, don't settle for the status quo, just don't accept status quo. Mediocrity is not an option. When we say those things, it's more than just being mediocre. It's more than just no salted eggs, like excitement. It's more than butterflies. There is a level of understanding to figure compatibility out.
Yeah.
Because when there's no compatibility, or like there are compatibility issues, we will settle for that person. Maybe because of the physical things, because this person is physically what I want, and
I'm willing to let X, Y, and Z go.
Exactly. Or there may be a physical compatibility issue, but there's the other side, which I'm going to say, if you're going to settle for one compatibility, settle for the physical. Because I really think the depth of relationship, the depth of intellect, the depth of emotional connection.
Intellect's huge. I think that...
The depth of conversation.
Yeah. Because I think that's what gets you in the door is the attraction part. Like whether or not you physically are attracted to somebody.
Yeah.
And then it's the rest of it that has to come together in order for that part. Because I actually find you more attractive now than I probably did when we first got together. Only because now I know... mentally,
because I'm ugly.
Shut the hell up. Because I know now mentally that we're compatible. Do you know what I mean? Like, well, I already thought you were cute, but then it's like, can we actually have a conversation? Can we actually talk to each other? Can we both like hold our own in a conversation?
Yeah, and it's you have to match your intellect. I really feel that if you have a certain level of intellect, wherever that sits at for you, or however you feel your intellect is. You got to kind of match that. You got to have somebody that can go shot for shot with you. And
yeah.
I mean, I've never had an issue. Like, I could always weed out people quickly, especially after trying to date again, the whole dating process. And that was one thing. Me and my ex, we didn't have a problem with intellect.
Right.
With talking, that was never an issue. But
no, me and mine either.
Yeah, it was just there was other compatibility issues, you know, and we all and the good thing is if you take the time to explore the depth of that, then it's not a hurtful situation. It's more of, OK, we see this. And I think that was what me and you said. It's like we're not going to settle. There's not going to be any gray areas on it, for one. It's going to be black and white, and it's not vanilla. You know, we say all these things. It's not going to be mediocre. We're not settling, and we're not settling because if we come to find out that, you know, okay, this is not working, you know, let's not waste each other's time. And that's the thing that I think that's big for, you know, everybody else is to see that when you go into something, you have to want more for yourself. One.
Absolutely.
You have to know what you want.
Well, and coming out of a relationship also, I think it sets the tone for what you want in your next relationship.
Yeah,
I think what works for you and what doesn't work for you. I don't want to go down the same path I just went down. Why would I do that to myself?
Well, a lot of people do that because they never take the time to figure out
what it is they really want. But I'm not. I don't want to do that again.
Even if you don't know what
you want. The end result's going to be the same. Do you know what I mean? Because there's things in there that just were not what I want out of my life and who I want to spend my life with. And so, you know, we were very honest with each other and still continue to be extremely honest with each other.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
When it comes to things like that.
Even if you don't know exactly what you want.
You at least maybe know what you don't want.
Well, and even if you don't know what you don't want, at least know that if in a relationship ends, there has to be something that was not particularly right there. It might have not been any of your fault. But you were still with a person that, you know, left you or wanted not to be with you, or y'all both didn't want to be with each other, or you didn't want to be with them. So there is a problem somewhere. So there needs to be some dissection of that relationship to understand what went wrong here.
Yeah.
And God, honestly, I think that most of the time it's that we just settle for whatever.
Well, and some things that look cute at the beginning and then become, you know, I mean, let's be honest. We started dating, my ex and I started dating and we were 18. We got married when I was 23. Mm-hmm. From 23 to 46, over 44, there's a huge amount of growth that has happened.
Yeah.
And I felt like stuff that was great at the beginning because we're in our 20s.
Yeah.
Doesn't look as great as it does in our 40s.
Yeah.
And so where I progressed or I moved or whatever changed, those are things that I just wanted to keep that progression going. And so in future relationships, when our relationship ended, I didn't want to go back and think that those are things I just don't want to have to deal with. I told you from the get-go, you have to handle your man shit. That's my number one rule.
Yeah. And you know, it's 'cause
it was what stemmed from a relationship.
Yeah. I think there's just a whole process of understanding yourself to get to that point. You know, you can't know what you want. You can't know what you don't want.
No, you have to look at everything very quickly or very carefully.
Yeah. And it's a trial and error process, because I'm not saying you got to sit on your ass and not do anything, not date, not work on your relationship, anything until you figure those things out. That's the process of figuring it out, going through the trial and error.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you go, okay, that didn't work. Why didn't it work? You know, or
yeah, what was missing or what was really right?
You know, what was wrong with me? What was, you know, it could have been a number of things.
Yeah.
That was going on. But until you stop and look and say, you know, well, what am I doing? You're always going to end up in the same place. And you have to think that if you don't want something mediocre, if you don't want something half-assed, if you want something special and something that can move. And let me say this, people who are in relationship with kids, that's the hardest.
Oh yeah. It's rough.
You know, because you're trying to raise a child and all your focus between you and your partners going into your child, you tend to forget to put that focus on each other. And this is why
you're exhausted.
Well, but this is why a lot of relationships end after children are grown or empty nest syndrome comes along, because you start a relationship and then kids come right into the picture. Some people have kids before that it happens and oops, oh, we got a kid. We got to, you know, start a relationship. Some people get married and the first thing they do is have kids. So they, instead of having that time to really grow in depth with their relationship, they now have to focus all that energy on the children. And once that child is gone, now what do you do? You
know, what foundation are you left with? What commonalities do you have? What things do you have with your significant other?
What happened over the past 18 years that you grew into this adult or this other person because of all things that's happened over the past 18, 20 years? Not only that, this is why people are in mediocre relationships, because they've done it for so long, it's just easier to stay there.
Well, yeah,
than move forward.
It's not an easy decision after 20 years of marriage to be like, yeah, I'm going.
Yeah.
Like, that was not
nobody wants to
an
do that.
Easy decision for me to come to.
No,
by any means.
I don't think if anybody comes to a decision after 20 plus years of relationship to say, you know, we're just going to end it now. That was never a relationship in the first place.
No.
And I think for some of us who are struggling, and some of you who might be struggling in your relationships, you know, it's okay to go, you know what? Something's not right here. We need to figure this out. And I'm going to tell you that I worked after it was kind of pointed out to me that there are some things wrong. Then I needed to make some changes.
Yeah.
It was just too late. You know, it's hard to make changes for somebody when it's too late. And you go, okay, maybe it's just time to move on.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay, because the one I feel like there's so much pressure put on people not to get divorced, which
there's a tremendous amount of pressure.
I mean, we're not
advocates of it.
No,
like,
I don't.
Get divorced. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't want people to get divorced at all. I didn't, you know, nobody wants to get divorced because.
No, we didn't go into marriages thinking that was what was going to happen. Not in the least bit.
No, but I'm also a type of person that states that I think you should, you know, find that person that's going to make life grand. And it might be a tough road. I mean, there's so many things that you have to walk through to get there and to realize. And sometimes they fall in your lap. Sometimes you find them. Like, you go through the struggles of having to find them. I think most of the time you have to go through those struggles. You have to go through the trial and errors and dating and all those things that suck.
Yeah.
Believe me, it suck. We talked about it last week and trying to find that place or find that person. So you can start understanding what it is to, you know, to have a relationship that you really or really, really want to be in. That's not mediocre, you know, and the thing is that you just don't get a relationship and go, oh, this is the perfect person.
No, there's growing pains. There's things that have to happen.
Well, and that's the part of having
communication.
Yeah, communication. If you work on yourself first and you get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm good. Like, you're really good with yourself.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to, it's a part of my blog post, but so you can understand, there's one question I think everybody has to ask themselves outside of a relationship. If you can answer this question and be good with it, I think you will never settle. And the simple question is, ask yourself, am I okay being alone? And I'm not talking about being lonely. I'm talking about being alone. Like, I'm okay going to the movies by myself.
Yeah.
And I don't need anybody. Watch how this works. I'm okay going to eat dinner by myself, and I don't need anybody.
I went to a concert by myself.
Exactly. I went to a concert by myself, and I didn't need anybody.
I went hiking
anybody.
By myself.
Yeah.
Drove to Boone. Went hiking by myself.
I was on the way to go hiking by myself, and then I met you.
Look at that.
But I think the key thing there is asking yourself, am I okay with being alone? Like, am I okay doing things alone? And the second question you need to ask yourself is, do I need? And that word, that four-letter word, N-E-E-D, need, is a killer. Because if you need something, it means you can't live without it. And when you can't live without it, you will change yourself. You will do whatever you can to get that. It's like an addiction. It's like people who are addicted to drugs. They will do absolutely whatever they can to get it because they need that fix. They'll steal. They'll hurt. They'll do whatever they can to get it. If you're hungry, you need food. You will do whatever you can to get food. Believe me. I have been hungry. I meant like gone without food hungry. I know you'll do whatever you have to get food. Okay? You need it. The problem is people think they need
other people
to the point they'll do whatever it takes to have that person. You will settle. You will create the most mediocre, sometimes detrimental, sometimes very negative relationships.
Give just up to all have your beliefs, all the stuff that you wanted for yourself, everything, just to need a person.
You'll become somebody who is so totally unrecognizable in the mirror that somewhere down the line you go, I've lost myself. I'm not who I am.
Yeah.
And we all do it at some point because whether we fall in love really quickly, like you'll fall in love with somebody because there's all the things that go right in the beginning. And in order not to lose that person because you really feel that's the person for you because you've fallen in love and they fall in love, you'll start to change yourself. Once you realize you start changing yourself, now you no longer want this person, you need that person. And those are the key words, need and want, need and want, need and want. When it comes to relationships, you don't need it, you must want it. When you want it, you will do things that will continue to make yourself be yourself, but you will do it in a way that attracts a person that sees you. Mm-hmm. Not sees who they are, who they want you to be, but they see you. And you want a person to see you. If you're trying to have a relationship with somebody and they're trying to change who you are, they're definitely not the person for you. Now, if you have a terrible problem with like cussing women out, like you speak badly to women, okay, that's something you need to change. Because people are going to want to change you from doing that. But I'm talking about like emotionally, like how you live your life and things like that. There's going to be negative things. I get it. But positive things in your life, who you are identity-wise, I mean, hell, just be yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you are changing who you are, then you're not being true. And you're basically committing counterfeit in your relationship.
Yeah.
You know, so there's the things that you need to think about. It sounds crazy. It sounds so simple at points.
No, but it's difficult to do when you...
It's very difficult.
When you are caught up in feelings and caught up in emotions and caught up in the, you know, I call it lust. It's lust.
Yeah.
To some certain degree. Do you know what I mean? When you have those beginning feelings with somebody, you end up becoming somebody sometimes that you don't want to become.
Well, and that's the point.
And either you continue on that path.
Yeah.
Or you realize that, whoa, this is not where I need to be.
Well, I think a lot of it is everybody goes through those initial butterfly, this is great. Like we was talking about, let's just talk about the honeymoon phase of the dating relationship.
Are we still in that? Are we past that?
Oh, hell no. We're way past that.
Yeah, I would think so too.
We're way past that. Not that I want to break down the stages of what I think a dating relationship is, but I think the honeymoon stage, whether it's like the first week, first 2 weeks, first 3 months, whatever
that
time
frame. Our relationship was kind of fast forwarded-ish.
Yeah, our relationship was super fast. But we're also not wasting time. let's see if this works. If not, let's move on. That's kind of how it was. And it
hi,
just,
hang out with me. Oh, you're never going home again? Okay.
Yeah. So I think everybody goes through that honeymoon phase. It's after the honeymoon phase. It's like, okay, things are starting to slow down as far as the heavy heat passion or the butterfly.
Or it still
feelings.
Might be there, the heavy heat passion, but it's just a different kind of, the day-to-day life is starting to enter in. So you're getting into like, we're working, this has become our routine. Starts is what it is. It's where routine starts.
And people are like, oh my gosh, we're getting complacent. Well, you're not getting complacent. You still have to live life. You have to learn how to live life, because if you continue to live in a relationship with somebody, you're going to end up living with them or marrying them or whatever that looks like for you. And at some point you got to go, we're going to have to learn how to live in a shared space. And how does this work? And we're going to go to work. And how does that work? And we're going to come home grumpy, and we're going to have long days and tired days. How do all these things work where we're not so jacked up in the codependency of each other that we can't just be in the moment?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one.
But also
aspect.
Not getting so caught up in the everyday thing and still making your relationship a priority.
Well, there's a balance to it all.
There's a huge balance to it.
Yeah, and that's something but that's the part about not settling. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
If you don't want a mediocre relationship, if you don't want to settle for the status quo, then there's the communication.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about the communication. It's one, being vulnerable with yourself, meaning I'm going to be open to share everything that I am, feelings, how I feel about things.
All of it.
Yeah, all you got to say, okay, this is me when I'm bad. This is me when I'm good. This is me when I'm angry. This is me when I'm sad. These are the things you get.
And be realistic about it. Like, don't hold it in either. Because a lot of times people, you know, will hold things in or not want this perception of them in a certain way either. Do you know what I mean? Then you're like falsely living.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to see, you know, oh, I don't want him to see me get upset, or I'm just going to let that go because, you know, it's not worth it. I always felt like I always did that all the time.
Well, and
then you just hang on to it. And then it's just like it builds and builds instead of just having a conversation.
Well, and that's the part. Like, if you're not living honestly with your emotions, with everything, eventually those emotions are going to come out.
Yeah, and it's going to be way worse.
Yeah.
Way worse.
Well, even if it's not like a way worse emotion, but they're going to come out, and then you got to deal with it then.
Yeah.
If you go up front.
I might get this cat.
Cat.
Oh, she just got me good with them claws. Whoo! Sorry.
We literally have a cat who just cannot stand the fact that we record. Sorry. Like, every time we record,
holy
she is
moly,
trying
that got
to.
Me good.
Anyways,
ooh, claws and thigh.
Oh my goodness!
See, unscripted right there. Ooh, that got me good. Sorry, I totally like ruined that, but that hurt.
No, I think that if you have the conversations, like one of my first things was being real, was talking to you about my mental health issues.
Yes, 100%.
You know, like, hey, I have some defining disorders, and these are it, because these things can happen. Because the reality is one day they might rear their ugly heads, and what is that person supposed to do? You're not going to stop something like that from happening, it's going to happen, and you're going to see it, they're going to see the bad side of you. So here you go. Here's me. And I don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know what it's going to look like, but when it happens, at least you understand what's going to happen. That was me being open and vulnerable with her and saying, here's the bad part. You know, I don't really want to tell you this. I would much rather never talk about this.
No, you told me straight away.
So it opens that door. But what happens is it keeps you from, like, it kept her from going, you know, like, down the road not knowing about it. Okay, we've been in this relationship for so long, and now it's happening. I don't want to really, you know, I don't want to do anything over. I don't want to start over, so I'm just going to settle for it.
Right.
You know, you could prevent all the mediocrity, all the settling up front if you just get things out on the table. It's a very, communication is, I know people say communication is key. Man, communication is not just key. It is literally everything when it comes to relationships. And yes, I know it sounds very,
like a
understated, because everybody's like, communication, communication, communication. You got to talk, 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 talk. But I think there's a level of communication that people just don't get to.
Well, there's also communication of figuring out how you and the other person communicate. Not all communication looks the same.
Yeah, I mean.
So figuring that out is also a chore in itself, because even when we first started dating, old habits, I stew on things. I hold it in. You know something's wrong with me. I refuse to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it later, you know, you're like, all right, I'm here if you need me. Like, let me know. I've gotten to the point where I'm not like that. But that also goes in with vulnerability, because at the same time, you know, you don't want to show all your shit out there.
No,
here's my shit show. Here you go. Take a look at it.
No, you don't want to.
But
you don't want to throw everything out there.
It's a trust thing. I mean, there's a little bit of a trust thing, too.
I'm not saying you got to go out the first week and go,
here's
all my
dirt.
Here's
my resume of craziness.
But it is something you work on, because it is a relationship. Even if you just started dating, I literally think.
Yeah, I mean,
at our age, you don't have time to waste. I mean, I don't want to say like, oh, I'm on death's door.
Well, no, but I don't want it. We wouldn't be still dating if we thought this wasn't going to work. There'd be
right, but a lot of people do. A lot
I
of people
just
they just
that.
Continue to date, and they don't.
I guess they get married too and do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, they do, and it's like, why not at least weed out some of it? I mean, work, because at some point you got to say, what's really going on here, and hopefully you move through a good level of communication that goes back and forth, and you can understand it, you know, because you have to ask yourself at some point, is this one healthy for me?
Yeah.
Is this one something that I really want? Like, literally, we went through, I mean, because of my crap and disorder, I mean, like, I was still like, I'm not sure, like, everything seems right, but I'm still worried. What is causing me worry? Why am I still?
Oh, when we were moving in together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's a lot of things. It wasn't that I didn't love her and I didn't want to live with her. It was all my baggage. It was all my stuff. Like,
your insecurities were all coming out.
Yeah. And it's tough.
And you're losing everything in your name. Like, what if this doesn't work out the way that we think it's going to work out? And you've got everything tied in with me.
Yeah. And then but being able to communicate those things.
Yeah, we had good conversations.
Yeah, long conversations. Barely. Some of the conversations were not fun to have.
No.
But there's conversations that had to happen. But after all that, but there was also still, even at 6 months, 7 months of, and when we talk about 7 months, 6 months of relationship, we're not talking like your normal stuff. Like, we have been at it, like, consistently, every day.
We pretty much lived together before we lived together.
Yeah, and.
Like, he had an apartment.
Yeah. But
that
I never
didn't
lived
mean
there.
Anything.
Yeah, but you know, but we've had so many talks. But even at that point, we still were learning how to understand each other, and there were still some misunderstandings in our communication. So it was just a constant talk, and we still do it, even though we put more work into it than probably most people do in first year of dating.
But I think it set the tone for us now. I don't feel like we have nearly as many We hardly have any misunderstandings, really.
No, because
we
work super hard at not having those anymore. Because, one, we're tired, we're getting older, and it's just things we don't want to deal with. There's so many other things in life to do.
Yeah.
we both decided. I mean, and this is something you could think about too when we're talking about like not letting mediocre be the choice for you, is that you have to decide with that person that we're not going to waste time. One, we're going to get everything on the table too, and we're going to trudge through this. We're going to put real work in. So when we get to that point, we're not still having to do this two or three years down the road.
Dude, none of our stuff ever comes back up. Literally never comes back up.
There's no
a huge
change. Know what? You remember 3 months ago when you did this, blah, 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 blah.
No, we never do that.
Or like, hey, you know, there's these things that you do and I'm trying to understand them, blah, blah, blah. Why? And then it's like this. And I'm like, oh, okay, so when these things happen, this is what I should expect.
Yeah, yeah. We did have
those conversations. How do we fix this? How do we go around where we don't have these issues anymore? So now we don't have those issues anymore because, one, we identified the problem.
Yeah.
We discussed, you know, why that problem happens.
Yeah.
And then we devised a solution of when these things happen, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, now when those things happen, instead of having to revisit old problems that happened before, we just deal with what happens. Most of the time,
we never rehash.
Yeah,
I don't think ever.
No, not really. I mean, in the beginning, like the first 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, maybe
learning
a little
other,
bit, but yeah, and that's understandable.
Yeah.
Because that's just figuring things out.
But
now, I mean, I'm not being like, well, you remember 3 months ago. There's none of that shit.
No.
Because we've already talked about it, discussed
well,
it,
you know,
it
that was one of the things. That was one of my things. Like we have these like ground rules, like hard nose.
Yeah, hard nose.
Hard nose. We have these hard nose about things, and one of my hard nose is I don't want to be with somebody who cannot let things go. Like they can't. Like okay, we had an issue, we talked about it, we figured out who was
and
wrong.
Resolved. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
we
resolved.
Figured out who was wrong. We made the apologies. We resolved it so we wouldn't have this issue again. I didn't want to have that, like, and then we have to go back and deal with it again 3 or 4 months later. I just could not do that any longer. I know some people do it because relationships kind of go in circles. So they never, and that problem is that it never really got resolved. It just kind of went in a circle and nobody resolved it. They didn't really, that's why they keep having the same issues going down the road. But I didn't want to have to resolve something and then have to deal with it again 3 months later.
Yeah, I wasn't doing that either.
Yeah.
Actually, that was a hard no for me too.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know was a hard no until we had a conversation. And I realized that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
No, I don't. And there's all these other things. And my suggestion for you, if you don't want mediocre, get you some hard no's. Like, I know this sounds silly, but one of my hard no's was no young kids. Even though I had dated some girls who had young kids, I realized like right. And when I say, when you ask yourself that question, am I okay being by myself? Am I okay being alone? I had to work through all those things to get to the place to say, I'm okay being alone because I don't want to have to raise, I don't want to have to be in a relationship where I'm raising small kids.
Can you imagine though, honestly, if you think about it, if you didn't go through that process with yourself and you met somebody that, you know, you cared about, obviously, and they have small children, but you were on the fence about that or did not get to the point, that would cause a lot of tension because you're bringing that harbored feeling to a relationship with you, even though you may never talk about it. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't resolve it within yourself, it becomes an issue in a relationship.
Yeah, because it's something that you, like you said, if you're riding the fence on it and you don't know, and then you realize, oh, shit, this is a
by
problem.
Yeah, by then you could be months in a relationship. Now you've met children.
Yeah.
And so now you've got kids involved in that situation. Yeah. So it's even touchier. So it's like you really need to, like you said, sit down and really think about what are things that are hard no's for yourself that are non-negotiables. Like, I cannot be in a relationship with somebody who does this and this. There are some things that you might say, you know what? If this happens, I'm kind of okay with it. I might not be.
If you eat mustard on the regular. No, I'm
sorry. That was what, no mustard. Okay, no mustard, no green olives. But no, I mean, but that does become a thing that comes up later in relationships. I know it was like that for my own marriage in that regards. I mean, there was things that I just thought, you know, it's fine, it's okay, and then it became, that's really not okay. Like, that's really irritates the fuck out of me. Like, you know what I mean? So it becomes something that was little that I didn't stick with at the beginning. But I also think too, I don't want to say it because it sounds terrible to say, but I wish that I would have waited to get married. I think at 23, I did not entirely know. I know you're younger, but at 23, I don't think.
Nobody does.
I just wish I would have waited.
Nobody. And see, that's the
but
thing.
But then if I would have waited, I wouldn't have my kid. I mean, I can't go back and change things. But I think
hindsight's
in my
always
mind,
2020.
It is. But I think in my mind, I was not sure of myself and what I wanted.
Yeah.
Even then remotely to be able to make a decision of who a life partner was.
Let's be honest. Nobody is.
They don't. But what happens when you grow so terribly apart? That's
there's a bunch of different ways of looking at it. Like, and we can make a whole show out of this about like, like I can make another show about settling on a different side of it. But you're talking about like people get married. I know people who got married young.
I know people are like high school sweethearts or college sweethearts.
And they're still together.
Married
and they're going to be together forever. Or until they die. Not forever.
But we talked about this. Because remember, I said this in the car. When you look at those relationships, is it settled though? Like, are some people just in those relationships and
I think
on
it's
paper it looks one way to everybody, but in reality people are entirely miserable? But it's the lack of change. It's the lack of the fear of changing at 40 something years old. And
I'm
going like,
to be
I'm not going to be married.
I'm going to be optimistic on the side and say 50-50. I know that's not very optimistic.
I mean, I just wonder because, you know,
but
you
I'm
see
be
Instagram
like, I think,
of,
I think
of
there's
people and you're like,
I think I know a couple of couples who
genuinely are still in love like they were the day they met each other.
I think they absolutely are. I'm and that's just from me knowing them personally.
Yeah.
I think there's multiple reasonings for that. That it's their basis of how they believe in faith.
Yeah.
It's their basis of how they believe in each other, how they've scheduled themselves to be around each other. I mean, I think there's a lot that plays into that. But I think
so genuine push and
and
work towards a relationship.
Yeah.
Just not like, hey,
honestly, but I want to err on the side of I think most relationships are just settled. Like they're into
I
a
really
place where they had
feel
kids.
Like that. Yeah.
Where they have had kids, they're still raising their kids. They're just like they don't know what they're getting into yet. They never found out who they were as a person. Because I think, like I said, one of the big things to being in a successful relationship, I think, is understanding yourself. I think for those people who got married when they were young and didn't have any kids until much later in life, had the chance to explore each other, explore themselves, and become...
And work together as a couple before kids in the mix.
Exactly. So then that relationship will be great. So they'll last forever because they had all that time to focus on their relationships and themselves. But when you throw another person in the mix, you're totally like a kid. You're totally throwing
or another person.
Well, that's a failed relationship, anyways. But when you throw that kid in the mix, you're totally throwing focus off the relationship. And if you don't know who you were before that happens, you're not going to know who you are until after that kid's done.
No, because then it's like a train wreck.
Yeah, I mean,
you're just.
You're all about the kids.
Floundering for who you are.
Yeah. And then when you're done, you're like, oh my gosh, what do I do with myself? I don't even know how to act anymore.
Well, see, I think that's some of my thing too, is like that was one of the things, you know, my daughter's older and I would think, you know, when she's gone and out of the house, what's our relationship? I mean, we talked about that a lot.
We talked about it a lot. Like,
I just felt
when the
like,
kids are gone,
oh my gosh,
what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Are we even going to like each other?
Yeah.
You know? And we get along great. We're friends.
Yeah, we are too.
But
super cordial.
Yeah, but.
But there's a difference between being cordial and being like.
In a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's way different.
Yeah. And, you know, can you do it? Yeah, I guess. But it's just going to be whatever.
Well, I just don't think our foundation was where it needed to be before we had kids. That's what I think it is.
Oh, I know ours wasn't. But I mean, hey, we took it for a ride.
Yeah, I mean, I don't regret anything, obviously.
I took it for a long ride. It was a long ride. But at the end of the day.
But I think that's what it was. It was like we didn't know how to communicate and we didn't know how to find things.
I didn't become a great communicator until.
We were just so different.
5 or 6 years before ours
ended.
We never
did.
Like, that's when. I mean, I could always communicate well.
Beating a dead horse.
But being able to communicate in a way where we understood each other. And that was the big problem. Like,
that.
You know, for us. And once we understood each other, and that's the great thing. Once we understood how each other worked, like we really got each other, we realized this might not work.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many ways. There's so many things. It's so hard to explain because.
No, I get it.
you hate looking back on a past relationship, and like I always try to look on my past relationship, like my marriage, good. Even though we had issues, I still try to look at the good spots of it and never think about the negatives. And so now I'm just trying to like move forward, but I was not able to move forward until I understood me. And I think that's it for anybody listening. Like, you've really got to understand who you are. Take the time to understand you.
And I would do that even if you're in a marriage, in a relationship. Oh, I don't think it's
most
even...
Most importantly, if you're in a
marriage. Like, if you're sitting here listening to this and you're, you know, wondering or see yourself in this situation that we found ourselves in 20 years or whatever the case might be, you know, you and your spouse can completely recommit to you know, reevaluate. There's nothing wrong with reevaluating and saying... Hey, let's, you know, it's we healthy. Are not who we were 7 years ago. We're not who we were 10 years ago. What's important to you? And have these open communications and these open conversations with each other and recommit to, you know, your relationship or respecting each other and making sure that, you know, things that you did tell or did talk about at the beginning of your relationship, are you upholding those things that were important to you then? Or has they changed?
And there's a lot of help out there. I mean, we are by no means counselors or
experts
or anything.
We just lived.
But we have plenty of experience. We have lived life. We've been through the relationships, the ups, the downs. But I would say there's so much help out there. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the pieces of literature that helped me the most, and I know it sounds stupid.
You're already laughing before you even say what it is.
Look, I don't ever like being cliche. That's a lie. cliche as they get. But I never thought, I always thought it was stupid. Like in my head, hearing it was like, that's just so stupid. So stupid. And then I read it and I was like, I get it now. So.
What'd you read?
What is it? Men are from Venus and women are from
Mars.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Women
did you really read that?
Not only did I read that, I read like 3 or 4 different versions. Not versions, but different books he wrote. Videos. I mean, I really dug into it because I'm like, I'm freaking missing something here. Like, what am I missing? Because I think I'm doing everything right.
Yeah.
You know? And then I read this stupid book. The book's not stupid, let me be honest. But I read the book.
Like, this dumb book's not going to help me. Oh.
But it wasn't like, oh, it helped me. It just made me think about things from a different perspective.
Which is always a good thing.
So, I mean, you know, basically these men and women from Venus Mars books and series and videos, all basically what it does is it helps a man see women from a woman's perspective and women a men's perspective. Because there's a lot of things that men do. Now, I can always say men will never understand women, but I also believe that as much as women would like to say they understand men, they most of the time don't. They don't get the inner workings of what men do and why we do it. But once you take the time to learn, then it starts to click and you go, oh shit, I get it. You know, because there's a lot of things genetically, I think, that men do. And, yeah. And I'm prefacing this by saying these are like man-woman relationships. I don't know how it works in same-sex partner relationships. I don't know if it works the same. I don't know how two men, like, when I think of two men and two women in a relationship, which is cool, but I just see how much headbutting goes
work?
On there.
I know.
Like, but, so to speak, if they take on, like, different, like, roles, like, you know, however you want to look at, I don't know. I'm getting in over my head there, so let me stop. But looking at it from, like, for me in that relationship, I had to learn how a woman, not why they reacted the way they did, how they thought about things, why they did certain things. Once I started understanding the psyche of a woman, I was able to address certain things differently. So, which helped me communicate better. So, like,
interesting.
Okay. So, like, where I would, I will never forget the time that me and my ex were fighting, literally fighting about something, like arguing about the same thing. Like we were agreeing on the same point.
But arguing about it.
And because.
Was it verbiage? Like what the words you were using?
It was the words and tones.
Oh,
like we were communicating so differently to each other.
But both basically arguing the same point.
We're talking about the same damn thing here.
Like, I agree with what you're saying, you agree with what we say, but the way that we're saying it is not...
Exactly.
I'm not understanding you.
So once I learned how to communicate, because all that time I thought I was communicating fine.
Yeah.
And then I realized she's not understanding me this way. And this is a problem for most people. You're talking to a person and how you think they're going to understand it, like how you understand it. But they don't.
No, we had that problem at the beginning because there were some times when you would say something and I'd think about it later. I'm like, what the hell did he mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd sit for a second and think about it. And sometimes I would say, okay, we got to go back to that because I don't know what the hell you were talking about. What did you mean by that?
Yeah. We all.
To clarify what you were saying.
We all give statements and we explain and comprehend things differently than other people.
Yeah, I wasn't getting your whole thought process in what you were saying. I was getting the one sentence or the two sentences, but I wasn't getting all the thinking that was going on in your head.
Because
that
I
got you to that point.
Because the
which
way
is what
I talk.
Which is what I needed. Because I'm like, well, that just came out of the fucking blue. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah. I talk in, like, formulated thoughts and quips. So I have a formulated thought, but I do it and I speak it in a quip. Like, really short.
Yeah.
To the point.
And I need the explanation.
Like, yeah. Like, I'm big about, like, so, and there might be some people out there that are like this. Like, when you ask a question, you just want the answer. Like, hey,
you told me that from the beginning.
Like, hey, did you go to the store?
Yes,
I went to the store. Some people, when you ask them, hey, did you go to the store? Well, I did, and then I ran into over here, and then this person was talking to me, and then, you know, I went through the store and found all these things, and blah, 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 blah.
No, you're literal in your responses.
Like, I want you to give me the answer to the question.
Yeah.
So when I speak, I give you the answer of my thought. Like, I don't lay out the entire thought.
Yeah, but I want the thought.
Yeah, and I don't understand that. I didn't understand that because that's not how I communicate. So it comes down to, and woo, look at us run long. When it came down to it, we had to say, and this is going to be key for, I think, anybody, is if you have a misunderstanding in communication, it is okay to say, hey, what did you mean by that? I didn't.
Yeah, because I had to learn to do that.
Yeah. Like, you have to ask, you know what? What did you mean by that? Because I feel like. Because if you just go and get mad.
Well, and I think that's what a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, instead of asking for the clarifying question to what it was that you were thinking or what.
They just assume.
Yeah. And I did it. I did it at the beginning of the relationship.
Yeah. And
I got
like,
pissed as shit at you one time. I don't remember what it was about now. But I did remember
we got into
a pretty heated argument.
Yeah, and I'm like,
conversation. We don't argue.
No. But
I
was
just remember, like, I'm not understand. Why are you fucking saying that? Like, I don't understand what you're telling me. Like, where'd that come from?
Yeah. So, again, we went all the way around in a bunch
of
stuff.
Well, I mean, but this is all part of the whole thing of not settling. These are all things and strategies that you have to do to not settle.
Yeah.
Because I could have just let it go and been pissed as hell at you and been mad as shit at whatever the thing was.
Nothing. Literally nothing.
No, it was just a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying, you know how many times people do that? They settle. They just let it go.
Yeah, it's like, oh, whatever. Yeah, whatever. And now, if you want more than that, if you want more for yourself and more for your relationship, then
ask questions.
You've got to speak up. I mean, literally, you can solve 95% of your problems with a very quick conversation that starts with a simple question. What did you mean?
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
But I think people are so afraid of hurting
ruffling
people.
Feathers. Yeah, but it's okay. Hey,
but
I didn't quite, like, what are you talking about? Tell me, because I'm upset by what you said, but let's talk about it, because I don't want to be upset. You know, what does this mean?
And women love to harbor on stuff. I mean, I'm right there with it.
Yeah.
I don't do with you, though, at all.
No,
not
because,
the least bit.
Well, but, you know,
we
that's,
don't have to.
Again, going back to those hard no things, I didn't want to be with somebody that stewed on something and just let it sit. Because I can't do it. Like,
no, that's why I ask you questions.
Yeah, getting blindsided with something 3 days later is
and something
a nightmare.
Usually unrelated. Like emptying the dishwasher all of a sudden turns into an argument about something else that happened.
Yeah. Or, what do you want to go eat tonight? I don't know. Come on, decide. I don't know. Well, what about here? I don't really feel that. But you said you didn't care. You know, like.
Yeah.
And it's and those fights like that, those I don't know where I want to go eat fights are not about I don't know where I want to go eat. There's something else that's just stewing.
Yeah.
So,
well, sometimes we don't know where we want to eat, but then I just decide for us both.
What?
I said I decide where we're going to go eat because you don't care. You told me that you had enough decisions in the day.
Most of the time, but who usually ends up deciding where we go eat?
I do.
What?
I do.
What?
I do. I give suggestions. I let you pick.
Who decides where we go eventually?
I do.
If you could see my face right now.
Are you being serious right
now? I'm being dead serious.
That's not even true.
Oh, it is so true.
Let's have an argument right now.
We are. No, I'm just playing.
That's not even true,
though. It's kind of 50-50, let's be honest. Because most of the time, I'll just like, you. Where do you want to go eat?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know. I'm well, like, I don't know either. And then we drive for like an hour and a half. And then I just drive in somewhere.
Because sometimes the problem is we love to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are not wasting a meal on some just like ordinary meal.
Yeah.
That's our problem. 100%.
Yeah.
We like food too much.
Yeah. It's like, we could just go to McDonald's.
I mean, we could literally eat a turkey sandwich every day at the house.
Yeah.
But we like food too much. And mm-hmm. so we have to like, I don't know, what do you have a taste for? But we communicate well through that process, clearly.
We always end up somewhere.
We do.
And I think it's 50-50.
I just throw out places.
You just start ripping off places and I just pull in somewhere.
I can eat this.
Yeah, I know. I can eat there. I can eat there. And I'm like, you're really not helping.
No, I don't. It's okay. Really, I just like spending time with you in the car.
Yeah. Anyways, it's our time out. But mediocrity is not an option, people. And it should be an option for you. Status quo should not be an option.
Rock the damn boat. It's okay to rock the boat.
Do it in your relationships. You know, start with your life. Start with yourself. Don't settle for status quo for yourself. Like, get over, you know, just going whatever. Like, be more than average. I'm kind of average.
but you're not average because average people don't have dreams. Average people don't have things that they work towards.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You can push towards things that you want.
And
you
if
just
you
don't have to just give in.
And I guess I need to preface this also by saying, if mediocre is okay for you, like
if
that's
had it.
If that's good for you, then hey, do it.
But if you feel like you got that itch you can't scratch,
yeah,
it's probably settling.
Yeah, I mean seriously, go.
And do it with your spouse, like honestly too. I mean, you could, you know, do some of the process by yourself, of course, understandably. But what a great thing to do with your spouse, like to really honestly look back at your relationship and work together to come up with what your new life together. You know what I mean? Like that would be a great thing to like spend time doing.
There are so many good resources out there. Like I said, one of the books that I will suggest to anybody if you really want to start this process, if you're in a relationship, is a simple book. It's not a big book, but it's called The Five Love Languages.
I love that book.
Yeah, it's a
you
really
can take a free quiz online, I think.
Yeah, you can. The book is written by, oh my gosh. Gary Chapman. That's it. So Gary Chapman wrote the book Five Love Languages. There's all kinds of issues.
There's even one for children.
Yeah, there's
so
one.
I read that one for Hayden.
Yeah, I mean, so that will help. I would like at least, even if you're not in a relationship for yourself, going to read that book and.
Can I make a suggestion of a book after you're done?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and make it now.
Oh, so my book that I would give a suggestion to is one that I read, and it's helped me with relationships as well. And that is by, I think it's Miguel Ruiz. It's the four, oh my gosh, my brain just went dumb. Oh my gosh, I literally just had it on the top of my tongue, but then I read what you just pulled up, and I can't think of it. The Four Agreements. Thank you. I just remembered it.
Oh, okay.
The Four Agreements.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have it. I have it printed out, The Four Agreements, basically. But it's a great way to it's actually a book more for communication, that basically the bottom line is that how people react is not because of you, it's because of them and their perception of things.
Yep.
And so it's actually super helpful because you understand why people react the way that they do to certain things. And that has nothing really to do with what you're saying, but their perception of the conversation or their perception of the relationship, their perception of whatever the thing is. And so it's actually a really good communication book.
Yeah.
And how not to take things personally, because it's not necessarily, it's their idea of what is being done and said.
Also, to be more specific, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus by John Gray is a good book. And there's not just that book, but he's got one that's that talks about the, like, even in the sexual part of relationships and everything else too, how men think one way, women think the other, how we give, how we receive. There's so many different things that can go in helping your relationship not to settle for the status quo. But here's one that I'm going to throw out there for everybody. It's something that I didn't think about until after I did it. I have done it a number of times for jobs, but I never thought about how it reacts to people themselves.
Yeah.
And it's the Myers-Briggs test. It's your personality test. You know, whether you're, like, I am a ENFJ.
Guess what I am.
Yeah, guess what she is. Like, hold on a second. I'm an ENFJ. I'll give you the count of 3, 2, 1 to decide what she is.
ENFJ.
She's an ENFJ too. So we're like exactly, and not, most of the time, same personality types can't get along, but ENFJ is one of those personality types that absolutely get along with each other.
Yeah. So we bring out the best.
Yeah. So, like, do the personality test. There is the.
What's the other one we did too? We did the other one.
Oh my gosh, that's something Ryan showed us, and I can't remember.
But we were the same on that one too.
Yeah, we were pretty close. I think we were exactly the same on that one as well.
God, what was that one?
I don't know.
I'll put it in the on our podcasting if I can find it.
Yeah, but the 16personalities.com I think is the easiest one to do, and I think it's the most well-informed.
The explanation of it's super nice
too.
Yeah,
so it's really good. So,
and it even gives you suggestions when you get done of who you are most compatible with as well. Mm-hmm. So that's also a good thing to know. And what a great conversation thing for you and your spouse to do.
Oh yeah, it's like,
or anybody that you're in a relationship with, like, that would be super great to do, because I bet half y'all don't know.
Yeah, and it's one of the coolest things, because it doesn't bring arguments up, like, not like the five love languages. You can get a little, I mean, it can get a little.
Mine's touch, by the way.
Yeah, go figure. I mean, I think the personality test is really cool, because it just doesn't do stuff about relationships, but it tells you about how you parent. Like, what kind of jobs.
Well, how you think about things.
Yeah,
like,
everything.
It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
And
you're so smart.
We'll talk about the personality test probably in greater detail at another episode, but.
Those are some good starting points, though, for, like, not selling for mediocrity and finding some ways that you and your significant other, or you by yourself, if you're getting ready to start dating, or figure out more about what you are and what you want.
So I guess at the end of the day, when it comes down to mediocrity is not an option, it's communication, it's self-awareness, and it's literally just...
self-love and self-growth.
Yeah.
Being okay with your damn self.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's self-awareness. It's like understanding who you are and what you want and where you want to go, and being able to communicate all those things in a vulnerable way that even... you can be vulnerable and not get hurt, not be emotionally bombarded with, like, missiles of hate. Because you're being open. Just got to be okay with yourself and go, you know, if you don't like that, you don't accept that, then I can move on to the next person.
And if you find somebody who's willing to go that route with you and understands that how you are, then that's even better.
Yeah. So
red flags otherwise.
Guys and girls, we appreciate you hanging out this long with us. I hope that this was helpful and you will be able to take this and grow yourself, one, grow in a relationship, and not let anything be just mediocre. Because you know at Rock Hippie Adventures, what we tell you is live life loud and bold.
Yep.
And mediocrity is not an option. Thank you for listening to the Rock Hippie Adventure Podcast. You can connect with us on all of our social channels, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Just look for Rock Hippie Adventures. You can also head over to our website, rockhippieadventures.com,
for all of our latest blog posts and podcasts. You can also share your story, check out what we're listening to on Wednesday, or just our usual jackassery. As always, leave us a comment or rating on your favorite podcast app.
Good thing, because you know most vacations are
Going to do stuff or see stuff and that kind of thing. But yeah, we literally went there to do nothing.
Yeah, it was a weekend of like very little, you know, no hiking, no running.
No, we really just sat on the beach for the better part of one day, and then we kind of just hung out and didn't do much. Somebody forgot to wear sunscreen.
I don't know who that is.
It's you, Lobster Boy.
I'm not red.
You're not red now. You were red yesterday. Oh, you're still red.
Yeah, I'm still red. That's the first time I've been like sunburned of that nature. I've been like red
before. It came down to semantics, because to me, when I told you I had suntan lotion, yeah, I meant that I had sunblock, and apparently I don't use the word sunscreen, and that's what you were waiting to